Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at TriCountyContractingWI.com.
This is WTMJ at the Republican National Convention. Now broadcasting live from Media Row at the Panther Arena inside the RNC. This is Wisconsin's Morning News. Now, here are your hosts, Eric Bilstad and Vince Petrano.
At 8:12, live from UWM Panther Arena, Eric Bilstad, Vince Petrano here on Wisconsin's Morning News. One final day of the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee, an event we talked about in the years build up to it, years before even the DNC as well. Started talking about that in about 2018, 2019. And so here it is. It comes down to tonight. We've had the primaries, we've had the caucuses, every U.S. state and territory. Tonight, the nominee, former President of the United States, Donald Trump, will take the stage and accept the nomination for president in this 2024 election. Eric and I had an opportunity to be inside Fiserv Forum to see the former president in his walkthrough on stage. We'll take you inside for that moment in just a bit, but first...
Can
you tell what they're chanting there?
JD's mom.
And they meant it nice, right? Fiserv Forum crowd chanting JD's mom, a name the pick first revealed here on Monday. Senator from Ohio, J.D. Vance, accepting the nomination for vice president in his primetime speech Wednesday from Milwaukee. Born in small-town Ohio, grew up poor. His backstory, a big reason for the choice. His mother was there in the audience.
Our movement is about single moms like mine, who struggled with money and addiction, but never gave up. And I'm proud to say that tonight my mom is here, 10 years clean and sober. I love you, Mom.
You know, I was on the convention floor Monday, Eric, when word was first filtering through the various delegations. I was among our Wisconsin delegation that Senator Vance was the pick. Remember the shortlist? Other names
call
on it.
Right? That was a roll call nomination.
That was happening, and you saw everybody hitting their phones. Yep, it's in. Vance, right?
Yep,
you know,
yep.
They're telling each other. And honestly, the reaction was a bit tepid.
Yeah, you're right. There's a little bit of meh in there.
Yeah, and now what you're not going to get is anyone in that delegation or on the floor to say, like, not a good pick. Like, you wouldn't get that because folks right away started falling in line, right, and saying, good pick. But you could definitely tell it was a little bit of an eyebrow raise. And right now, what we're hearing from more and more delegates is that they're warming up to it. So this woman is from Alabama. She talked with WTMJ's Jessica Ty.
This is a 12-year VP pick. You're picking someone as future president. Go around next time.
You know, he's 39 years old. His age, one of the selling points, one of the positives, they say, about Senator Vance, despite his lack of experience. And, you know, right?
But, like an NFL football coach.
Right. Once you're in the circuit,
These younger guys, that once you get them in, they're great.
So they're looking at it as, is this the guy who's coming on stage Thursday night in 2028 instead of Wednesday? And could there be more in his future? You can talk about 2028 in a while, okay? Just mention that just for a moment. As for the moment tonight, you know, Eric and I were inside the hall as former President Trump was getting the feel for the stage. Let me bring you inside that moment.
For some reason or another, they've turned out the lights now. Yeah. And there's a whole bunch of people talking, and we can see him. He's right out there on stage. What possibly could they be saying to him right now?
Schematics. Right. You know, trying to figure out exactly where you would walk and who you're going to wave to and which.
He's 10 feet from the podium. It's right there. Like, that's the podium, sir, and there is the hall.
It's just a lot of pointing.
Well, and
a lot of
people, too.
Too many.
Like, more than a dozen people standing on that stage, and only, like, two of them were doing anything.
Right. And we're not talking security detail, obviously. There was that. I mean, these were the handlers.
Yeah, handlers, staffers.
You probably didn't need to be here. You didn't need to be here. He's not even looking at you. Right. There's just a lot of that.
Watch this. They've been doing this for a while. He's been actually doing hand gestures. Familiar gestures the president makes when he's speaking publicly. He's doing those right now. I don't know if they were rehearsing it or...
So you think maybe he was practicing the hand gestures? making sure they're under the light correctly, the spotlights?
Yeah. Clearly, there was some method to it. There was some reason for that. I can't tell you what that was. I mean, now that it is standard, you want to, if you're a public speaker of any kind, you want to see out over the floor, want to see where are the teleprompters. Mm-hmm. There's a big one right in front of the speaker. There are giant screens on either side. Actually, if you've watched the coverage, because the networks all have different angles and such, you can see them. You can see the words scrolling and that. He'll also have a couple of teleprompters, the more familiar ones that are on either side, like what you see in a State of the Union address, for example, or some of these larger speeches as well. So some of that is just getting the lay of this. This is a huge speech for the former president and a big moment, and so you want to make sure that you're comfortable and familiar. Also, it's the optics, because clowns like us are in there to get those pictures, to get those photo opportunities. So some of it was played up that reason.
My favorite is you talking really loud, like around all these other people that are trying to work. There's like photographers and all these reporters, and you're like, why aren't they turning the lights on? Why aren't they turning the lights on? Come on! Like barking around.
You suggesting I have a loud voice? Or I guess some of that could be kept as inner dialogue.
I will ask this, though. So he had the bandage on his ear, on his right ear, on Wednesday. Does he wear a bandage tonight?
I think absolutely. Yeah. If for no other reason than the optics. We don't really know the, you know, what the healing process has been.
Or what
not
the injury
really heard
even
much
is.
Publicly from the
it's
president.
It's actually a little strange at how quiet that has been.
I'm telling you, it's the Michael Jackson glove now of politics. You've seen people also wearing bandages, like
you're right, there's
act of solidarity here. Right, and to get attention to,
all right, but so. We are at the RNC, like if we see someone 2 weeks from now just walking down the street with a bandage on their ear, okay, that'll be different.
A couple of important updates as well, talking about President Biden. He has COVID right now, and sources suggest he is becoming more open to the possibility of stepping aside. We'll talk a little bit more about that, but first on the illness.
It's a tremendous hole in security.
And the investigation into the attempt on former President Trump's life. That was ABC News crime and terror analyst. We've had him on the program before, ABC's Brad Garrett. He's a former FBI agent. And just talking about how inexplicable it is, this breakdown in security. And the more we learn about the attempt on the former president, the worse it's getting for the Secret Service. Every bit of news coming out is like, really? 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 ABC's Andrew Fujii has more on the timeline. Now, according to lawmakers who have been briefed on this from investigators, the shooter, Thomas Matthew Crooks, was on law enforcement radar at the rally long before those shots were ever fired.
At 5:10 p.m., Crooks is first identified as a person of interest, a full 62 minutes before the first shots. At 5:30, he's spotted with a rangefinder, which can be used to determine distances for target practice. At 6:02, Trump takes the stage. 6:12, Crooks fires those shots. A sniper then killed Crooks 26 seconds after he fired the first shot.
Eric, you and I have been around some of the strongest security now the last several days, as has anybody who's been involved in this event.
Mm-hmm.
How long would it take, do you think, for any of the law enforcement officers we've seen to see something suspicious before they were up into you around here?
Like, 5 seconds?
Right? The fact that there's something odd going on here for an hour before this shooter was able to get off those shots on a former president and the GOP nominee is simply inexplicable. Calls for the director of the Secret Service, Kimberly Cheadle, to resign. She's been here in Milwaukee. In fact, inside FISA Forum, on Wednesday, Cheadle was chased down by a pair of U.S. senators.
This is exactly what you were doing today.
This
on the call.
Was an assassination attempt. You owe the people answers. You owe President Trump answers.
So they're walking after Director Cheadle through the concourse. That's Senator John Barrasso of Wyoming, Senator Marsha Blackburn, Tennessee. You heard both of them there talking. Mm. Now, before that moment, Eric, they were sort of in a quieter area just off the convention floor. It looked like they actually were in an upper level concourse, but they were saying, like, you need to, we want answers. Apparently there had been a call earlier in the day, and she was telling them, I'm focused on this event right now, keeping this convention safe. I will answer your questions. She apparently has been subpoenaed by the House Oversight Committee and has said she will testify on Capitol Hill on Monday.
Seemed a little strange. It seemed like a photo op moment.
Well, they were rolling.
To be yelling at her in front of media. You can do that behind closed doors, or you can wait until that congressional meeting. I'm not sure why they had to scream at her like she's some lawmaker or something. I don't know. That seemed odd.
I did have the observation. I said, this is just like Senate hearings go. It's all the senators talking,
yeah,
but not
right.
the person. Like, is
yes.
there a question?
Monologuing, yes.
I'm not suggesting at all that Director Cheeto doesn't have a lot to answer
You're
for
right.
here.
No, yeah, we're both on the same page there.
In that moment. Yeah. As for President Biden.
President Biden arriving in Delaware after testing positive for COVID. The White House describing his symptoms as mild.
Not many people actually this morning talking about that here around the convention, although in fairness we haven't seen a ton of folks. The couple of people that some of our other teammates here at WTMJ have talked to about that diagnosis, about the fact that the president has COVID, people have been friendly. They're like, look, I disagree with the president, obviously, but I don't want him to have COVID, and I don't wish him poor. So folks saying the right things here in and around the convention. That was ABC's Perry Russum. President was not wearing a mask when last seen getting off Air Force One. He left the campaign trail. He was out in Nevada, cut that visit short, and he's going to wait it out at home.
After an effort to make Biden's nomination official by the end of July through a virtual roll call, the Democratic National Committee Rules Committee says no virtual voting will begin before August 1. The move possibly intended to buy more time to convince Biden to drop out of the race.
That's key there. And CNN reporting that sources are telling them the president is now asking in private. He's been meeting with advisors and other lawmakers in private, asking whether advisors think Vice President Harris can win, which is the reason that it's being suggested he might be at least open now, or more so than he was a week ago, to stepping aside.
And that's a good question, because that basically... You know, there's all this talk about all these other candidates or possible candidates. No, it would be Kamala Harris. Like, she would, 99% likely, she would become the nominee. And his concern, okay, can she do it? Can she get over the hump and beat Trump?
Did you see Klein here the other day?
I saw him once running somewhere. It looked like he
right.
was on deadline.
I wish we could have caught him.
Yeah.
ABC's Washington bureau chief, Rick Klein, is here in Milwaukee, and he's got some new polling on the president.
The new poll out from the Associated Press, 70% of adults overall and 65% of Democrats, 2 in 3 Democrats, even now, just weeks before his own convention, think that Joe Biden should step aside, even as Biden is defiant. So his team trying to push back on their own allies to say, even if he's down in the polls, it actually doesn't mean that much because they have the field game. I'll tell you, that is a hard argument to make at this moment in time.
You talked with former host here on WTMJ, Charlie Sykes. We ran into him at Fiserv Forum the other day. He had some interesting thoughts on just how absurd that conversation seems.
Yeah, yeah, right. And also, I mean, he seemed to think that it's starting to trigger now because of what Congressman Schiff has called for, because of what others are now saying, that this seems to be really pushing that ball. It's going to start snowballing even more.
At 8:24, still much more ahead here from the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee, this final day, this culmination of all these events that we've talked about for years, the president expected in prime time to deliver his speech and accept the nomination tonight, right here in Milwaukee. 8:24 on Wisconsin's Morning News.
Emmy nominations are out, and the hottest show right now has the most nominations. FX restaurant series The Bear just racking up the noms, but is it really considered a comedy?
With the Emmy nominations Wednesday morning, The Bear set a record for most nominations ever for a comedy, 23. And among the shows it's up against for outstanding comedy is the final season of Curb Your Enthusiasm, with its 11th nod in that category. Curb showrunner Jeff Schaefer tells me it's kind of weird to be up against a show like The Bear.
I love The Bear. The Bear's a great show. It's not a comedy. And I don't think they think it's a comedy. No one thinks it's a comedy. And there's a reason for that. It's not a comedy. It's a really good drama.
We'll see which show wins at the Emmys September 15th on ABC. Jason Athenson, ABC News, Hollywood.
So why is it submitted
right,
as
yeah.
one then? Well, there's a couple of reasons. USA Today has a great explanation. First of all, the networks and streamers can submit into whatever they feel like it. So that's one. They can just decide, okay, we're going to submit this as a comedy. And the reason they would do that, according to USA Today, is that comedy categories are traditionally less competitive than drama. It's easier to win.
Right. Okay, all right.
I don't know, but come on. It's just easier.
Well, that's a crummy reason to do it, like
right.
go up against the best in your category. I just question of, like, what is a comedy? Who gets to decide what's funny and what's not?
And
just because their intention wasn't to make it a comedy doesn't mean it's not.
I suppose. Right? What, if it has one joke in it or one light moment?
Yes, it has. Then... No. Well, you want me to set a number? How long is the show? Is this an hour long show or is it a half hour?
I remember.
Or is it like a 40 minutes? I don't know. So you need 17 jokes in order for it to be a comedy.
You know what
is
I
that
mean?
The number?
Yes, that's what right. I want.
The over-under is 17. You have to be over it.
So the Milwaukee Press Club, they do awards once a year. And I, when I was news directing many years ago, I submitted Greg Matzik for best writing in one of our audio categories. And I submitted it under the wrong one on accident. I submitted as print, and he still and he still won.
No. See,
and I was like, oh, so it's the judge in that case probably realized, oh shoot, you know, or didn't realize that it was the wrong category, but still gave him the certificate.
I guess just because you didn't set out to do a comedy doesn't mean it's not hilarious. Is it? Have you seen the show? It's funny, right?
Yes. Well, it can be. Yeah.
So you don't think it's a comedy?
Well, I just it's good enough where it can win best drama. Why take the easy way out?
Why don't you just put it in both? Can they do both?
Well, maybe there's probably rules on that. But anyway, Emmy nominations are out. The Bear is going to clean up.
Before 9 o'clock on this final day of the Republican National Convention here in Milwaukee, things starting to heat up around the broadcast center. Eric Trump making the rounds right now. Former President Trump's sons doing some radio in the area. So people are starting to fill in.
Yep. On this final day, one more night tonight.
I want to share this really interesting interview that WTMJ's Julia Fellow did. You know the photograph at this point. I'm not talking about the video of the attempt on former President Trump's life just this last week, and seems like weeks ago already, doesn't
right.
it?
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Not talking about the video, but there is something about a still photograph. Still. Right? Even though we have video, so many things that happen now. Yeah. Oh, why don't you just watch? There's something about a moment captured in time, and perhaps maybe the best circulated photograph from that moment was immediately after the president had been injured. Mm-hmm. He's up. You can see blood is on his face. The American flag is in the background, yeah. And he has his fist raised, and that's when he was yelling, fight, to the crowd. Julia Fellow talked with the Associated Press photographer who took that photo.
I knew the second that this had started that probably the most important thing I'd ever cover. So I was just trying to do a good job, stay in the moment, keep a level head.
That's chief photographer for the Associated Press, Evan Vucci, who took the photo of former President Donald Trump moments after an assassination attempt. It shows blood streaked across the former president's face, his ear bloodied, and pumping his fist in the air with the American flag behind him. The award-winning photographer shared moment by moment how he ended up taking this photo.
President Trump walked on, and I had my long lens on, and over my left shoulder, I heard several pops.
Take a look at what happened. Over.
I knew immediately it was gunfire, so as I looked through my long lens, I saw Secret Service agents beginning to rush towards the president. I made a few frames of that, and then I ran to the stage, and I got my wide-angle lens, and I just started photographing everything I could.
Today's technology got the photo of Trump's bloodied face published within minutes.
My cameras that are plugged into an Ethernet cable, and it's going to my editors. So I'll take a few photos, and I'll hit a button to send the photos to my desk. By the time President Trump had been put into the SUV, so I had 36 photos out to my desk, and I was just happy that I did the job. You know, you never know how people are going to react to anything that you do.
Former Wisconsin Governor Tommy Thompson believes this photo resembles another moment in history.
And putting his arm in the air saying, fight, with blood running down, the American flag behind it, that's an iconic photo, just like Iwo Jima.
Vucci, however, believes it is up to each person to take away what they see in the photo of a former president seconds after an assassination attempt.
I can't control how people would react to anything. I was just glad that I was able to do the job.
And this award-winning photographer will be snapping more photos of former President Trump when he takes the stage tonight in Milwaukee. Julia Fellow, WTMJ News.
Text the word photo to the WTMJ talk and text line 855-616-1620. We'll send you a link to that picture as well that we've been discussing. You know, it's interesting. He talked about how quickly he's able now to send those photos back yeah. to his editors.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you, I'm going to date myself here, but the first time I recall seeing a photojournalist, it was a friend of ours, Jeff Phelps. You might have known him, longtime Milwaukee Journal
sure.
Sentinel photographer,
yeah.
also shoots for the AP and others. I was on the campaign trail with then Vice President Al Gore. He had started the day in Green Bay, was making his way down through Fond du Lac, and then ended in Waukesha for a rally. And we're in the motorcade on one of these media buses where
yeah.
we all are.
Yeah.
This is the year 2000. And I see Phelps has got his laptop, and he's got all these pictures laid out on the computer. And I'm like, whoa, dude, how did you do that? He's like, yeah, I put them right into the computer. And then I don't know, trying to figure out if the technology was such that he could send those in mobile or if he had to wait to plug into something somewhere.
I was going to say, and think about how big those files probably were at that point to be able to move them. And
take a half hour to send one via cell, maybe.
It looks awful, too.
But I remembered that. I just remember that moment of thinking this is going to revolutionize how we do photojournalism, not just moving pictures, but obviously those moments as well. And to hear this photographer talk about how he got that stuff in to the editors in seconds and how right there. I also thought that was interesting. He said, it's not my job to determine which one is the picture. I take the pictures. These editors, the one. Hmm. Fascinating. Again, you can text the word photo to 855-616-1620 if you want to see a look at that picture. And thanks to Julia for tracking that interview down. 845 on Wisconsin's Morning News.
This is your chance to be a professional baseball player.
People still don't recognize us.
For 5 minutes. Virtually, of course.
We're contenders now.
Welcome to Virtual Baseball on Wisconsin's Morning News.
Play ball!
Virtual Baseball is sponsored by Siding Unlimited. It's siding and a whole lot more. Honest pricing guaranteed. Visit SidingUnlimited.com. RNC Edition.
Yes, so here's what we're going to do. Today we have two special players playing virtual baseball. One of them is WDTMJ Steve Scafidi, the host of the Political Power Hour, who's been everywhere this week, has talked to everyone. And the other contestant will be Alabama Senator Katie Britt.
Wow, thanks, Senator.
Yes, thanks to WTMJ's Jack Groff.
How about that?
Yes. So here's how the game will be played. I don't even know if you've ever played virtual baseball, Steve.
wink, nod.
Here's how the game is played. There are 20 Brewers highlights. They're labeled 1 through 20. You and the Senator will each select 3 highlights from the same list of 20. Your score is determined by the number of runs scored in the highlight. Whoever has the most runs scored wins the game. All right.
Yeah, not the first time you said that.
So the Senator, she's going to go first since we recorded her answers ahead of time. Are you ready? Okay, so Senator Britt.
Okay, 4.
Okay, so she's going with number 4 first. All right, so number 4.
Senator Britt, I'll remind you, she gave the Republican response, did she not, to the...
Yes. Mm-hmm. I saw her a couple times yesterday. Yeah, a lot of attention around
State of the Union address earlier this year.
Joey Ortiz.
2-2 pitch, high fly ball, deep left field, racing back is Langford, onto the warning track, at the wall, he leaps and is gone! Joey Ortiz!
Oh, good start for the Senator.
Sent him to the All-Star game!
So that's a one-run.
She's up 1-0 on him.
All right.
Not a setup, is it?
Well, we'll see.
It's not fixed or rigged, is it?
No, everything is anonymous. Okay.
Just checking.
Senator Britt, your second number, please.
Okay, 4...
No, she already gave 4. Hold on.
Okay.
Well, you should keep saying that same one. No, now the next one is this.
12.
All right, she said 12 there. Oh. So number 12 today is Jake Bowers.
1-1. Bowers rips one down the right field line. That's a fair ball. It'll roll all the way into the corner. Off to the races for Monasterio. He's around third. He's headed for home. He will score. Arms are up, saying the ball went out of play. Will they put Monasterio back at third? I think they're going to. Yeah. And what tough
I remember
luck for
that
the
one.
Brewers. That ball got stuck.
Oh, yes.
Luck. Come on.
Where's your outs at?
Well, no. Well, so that's, I mean, it's not a run score, though. You got to prevent the run. So right now she's only got one run. So
right,
one more swing for Senator Britt. What's the number, please? Right. I'll make sure I get it.
19.
All right, so 19? It says 19 there. That's Reese Hoskins.
Ooh.
The 2-1 pitch. Drive in the left field. Dahl is going back. Dahl on the track. Dahl at the wall. Goodbye, Philadelphia. Home run. Reese Hoskins into the seats in left. The cheers turn to boos. And the Brewers are on the board. It's
a 3-1 game of the series. All right, so it's a one-run home run. So. Yeah. So Senator Britt ends up with 2 runs.
2 runs.
Now it's your turn, Steve.
Number 7.
Number 7 today. Okay, let me get there. Number 7 is Willie Adames.
High fly ball, deep right field. Fairchild back at the track at the wall. And he brought it back.
No.
Stuart Fairchild just robbed Willie Adames.
It's a low-scoring game.
That never happens either.
This is a low-scoring
game. Robbed. Okay, what's your next one?
All right, 11.
For virtual baseball.
Number 11, you said? Okay. Number 11 today is Jake. Wait, no, we already had that. It's Oliver Dunn. Oliver Dunn.
2-2. And Dunn took a call, third strike with a slider on the back door.
Oh.
Dunn having a few words for Clint Vondrak. Pretty good pitch.
Right, so, still up 2-0, buddy.
How about lucky number 13?
Hey, there, we do have some grand slams in here, so we'll see
I'll
what
take
happens.
That. That'd be
all
great.
Right. Sal Frelick.
Liner to left. That's a base hit. Headed towards the corner. One run is in. They'll send Bowers around third. Crawford has it, puts it in his back pocket. Sal Frelick with a two-run double.
All right.
Just like that, it's tied.
Okay, so, I mean, you're not going home with Brewers tickets. We're going to let a fan call
yes.
in for those. So would you like to try to win the game? It's tied now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, you can win.
Just leave it in a tie.
You want to tie the senator?
What's it mean?
All right, give the tickets away.
Oh, all right.
I don't know what the rules are anymore. I'm not doing this.
We made them up as we went.
All
That's
right.
a lot of effort to get Senator Britt as well.
Yes,
for,
yes. Appreciate Senator Britt for being kind enough to
What about me? What about me?
You were here anyway.
We're going to have Eric Trump do it with us. You know.
Yeah, he's sitting right next to us.
Clearly he's busy at the moment.
Let's do this.
Caller
number what?
Yes. Caller number 7 right now.
Okay. 855-616-1620. 855-616-1620. WTMJ Talk and Text
yeah.
line.
Pair
caller number
tickets.
7 gets a pair of tickets to see your Milwaukee Brewers.
When I joined the Braves, guys like Warren Spahn and Eddie Matthews, Henry Aaron, I was the first Milwaukee native to ever play with the Braves. The first native Milwaukeean to be signed by the Braves at that time, and the first native Milwaukeean to be sent to the minor leagues by the Braves. So they saw enough of me quickly, and I didn't last very long.
WTMJ, W277CV, and WKTI HD2 Milwaukee from the Annex Wealth Management Studios. This is News Radio WTMJ, a Good Karma Brand station.
Traffic sponsored by Two Men in a Junk Truck. Keep what you love, ditch what you don't. And the WTMJ forecast brought to you by Dave Dre Camp Heating, where your comfort is their family's tradition. Perfect day today, albeit a bit on the cool side for July. High of 76 degrees with a lot of sunshine. Clear and cool tonight, low down to 61. We're at about 64 degrees now in Milwaukee on this final day of the Republican National Convention.
Long day here at WTMJ for the final day of the RNC. We'll be back in the studio tomorrow. I got to give a big shout out to John Tyler for all his help, the engineer who's here all day, every day, doing all the hard work for us here to keep us on the air.
Yeah, WTMJ's Political Power Hour with Steve Scafidi, loaded with important guests, coming up next. We blew a gasket on the grave.